The essence of the cross. Let's all say that together. The essence of the cross. Our base scripture for today is Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. The Apostle Paul was instructing Titus, one of his protégés of the time, and giving him some instructions. And in these verses, he's bringing his protégé back to some of the basics. How many of you here know that as long as you've walked with the Lord, sometimes we got to review the basics? Anybody here can lift an honest hand of agreement with me and say, sometimes we need to review the basics. Sometimes, even after having been walking with the Lord for 27 years in my own account, I have to preach the cross to myself. And I would encourage each of you to spend a little bit of time every day contemplating the road from Gethsemane to the cross, to the tomb, to the resurrection, to the ascension. Amen?
Amen.
And so Paul was in that place with Titus. Titus was a vigorous man. Titus wasn't someone that needed to be prompted. As a matter of fact, Titus was a young man of God who actually needed to have the reins held back a little bit because he was a very vigorous, forthright man. And so I get the sense that Paul was trying to get Titus to say, okay, hang on here. I know you want to gallop. I know you're a racehorse. But let's take a moment here just to settle down and get some refreshed perspective of where you were and where you are and where you're going to go. Amen? And so picking up in verse 3, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified transliteration. Paul speaking to Titus then, God by His Spirit speaking to us today. We once were deceived and foolishly enslaved, spending our time and wasting our lives pursuing various sinful desires. Can anybody identify with that other than me? But when the goodness of God appeared in human form through Jesus Christ, He saved us. Everybody say, goodness of God.
Goodness of God.
He saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we have done, but because of His compassion and mercy.
Amen.
Everybody say, I'm glad for God's mercy.
I'm glad for God's mercy. Amen.
By the cleansing and redeeming power of His sinless shed blood, and by the regenerative, transforming, renewing work of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out so richly upon us through our Savior Jesus Christ, so that we would be justified, that we would be made free of the guilt of sin by the goodness of His compassionate, undeserved grace poured out upon us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So that we would be acknowledged as acceptable to Him, and that we would be made heirs of eternal life, which is our new living hope guaranteed by Jesus Christ. Our new living hope guaranteed by Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody say, I have a new living hope.
I have a new.
Say it again.
I have a new living hope.
Thank you, Lord. As we prepare ourselves to participate in communion with the Lord's Supper, God by His Word and by His Spirit is reminding each of us afresh today that the cross of Jesus Christ, catch this now, the cross of Jesus Christ is the sum total personification of the goodness of God, the mercy of God, and the faithfulness of God to us.
Amen.
The goodness and mercy and faithfulness of God is perfectly embodied through the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The essence of the cross is God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's faithfulness.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, in this context, there are different meanings for the word essence, but in this context, catch this now, the word essence means something that makes something else what it is. Something that makes something else what it is. Now, a cross is just a cross. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people died on crosses at the hands of the Roman government as a sign of capital punishment. And there were two men, one on either side of Jesus, and their crosses were just crosses. And so a cross is just a cross. But catch this now. God permeated that one cross. Amen. To make it into something else once and for all time. Amen?
Amen. Amen?
Aren't you glad for that?
Thank you, Lord.
Humanly speaking, no one is perfectly good. How many of you here have run across someone that thinks that they're just so good? Anybody here think of yourself as so good sometimes? Oh, I'm just so good. I'm such a good, good person. How could God not let me into heaven? Just on my goodness. How many of you have run across people like that in your life and go, uh-oh, be careful, because Jesus declared from Luke 18, verse 19, make a note of it, Luke 18, verse 19, no one is perfectly good.
That's right.
Except God alone.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. That's right.
And so God always acts in perfect accordance to what is right. God always acts in perfect accordance to what is true. God always acts in perfect accordance to what is good. Amen?
Amen.
The essence of the cross of Jesus Christ is the goodness of God. Amen?
Amen.
Goodness is part of God's nature. And He can't contradict His nature. He is the standard for all that is good. And He never does anything that contradicts what is perfectly good. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen. Amen.
Goodness is not just what God does. It's who He is.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
He is the standard of all that is perfectly good. And make no mistake about it, God's intentions and motivations are always perfectly good. He always does what is perfectly right. And catch this now, the outcome of His plans are always perfectly good. It doesn't seem like it sometimes, does it? From a human perspective. But when we grasp a biblical worldview with an eternal perspective, we can come to the realization in this life that the outcome of God's plans are always perfectly good.
Amen.
When it's all said and done.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
We haven't gotten to the said and done part of it yet. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. We're getting there. God is so perfectly good that in His sovereign providence over our lives as believers, catch this now, He can take someone's harmful intentions for you. How many of you here have had people with harmful intentions toward you? Can anybody lift an honest hand with me and say, oh man, what's going on with that? And especially, wait a minute, it's another believer. Anybody have another believer with harmful intentions toward you? Lord, help us. But in God's sovereign providence over our lives as believers, He can take someone's harmful intentions for you and turn it around for your greater good. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen. Amen.
If you're purposing to keep His word and will first in every area of your life, are you purposing to keep His word and perfect will first? Everybody say first. First in every area of your life. And if you are, then God's goodness will be running after you. Amen?
Amen.
And the goodness of God will overrun and overwhelm your life. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
What a wonderful thing to have running after you. Amen?
Yes.
God's goodness.
Yes.
But it's predicated on what our mindset is.
Yes.
What our application is. The thoroughness of our application of His word. The thoroughness of our participation in His perfect will for our lives. His goodness running after us is predicated on that. Amen?
Amen.
Ultimately, God's goodness is demonstrated in His plan to redeem us from sin. In His goodness, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to become the perfect and blameless sacrifice so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Bottom line, amen?
Amen.
Bottom line is at the ground, at the base of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? The cross of Jesus Christ, catch this now, is a perfect demonstration of the goodness of God.
Amen.
Sometimes it's not looked at that way in a natural perspective of what Jesus went through on the cross and leading up to the cross. It doesn't seem too good, does it, from a natural perspective? Sometimes the demonstrated goodness of God in our lives is painful. Just like it was with Jesus. In order to redeem us to a greater good, just like the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It's that demonstration of His goodness that leads to repentance.
Amen.
According to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Make a note of it. It's that demonstration of His goodness that proves that His desire is that none would perish and that all would come to repentance. Amen?
Amen.
According to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Make a note of it. That demonstrated goodness of God draws us to seek Him more and more intimately in prayer and in His Word. As you contemplate that demonstrated goodness of God on the cross of Jesus Christ, does it motivate you? Does it draw you more and more intimately to Him? Does it draw you more and more intimately in prayer? Does it draw you more and more intimately into His Word? That we might taste and see that the Lord is good for those who are taking refuge in Him, for those who are taking refuge in His Word, for those who are taking refuge in His perfect will and plan and purpose for our lives. If you're pursuing His Word, if you're pursuing His will, if you're progressively pursuing more and more intimacy with Him, then you have the shelter of refuge in Him. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what you may be going through in your life, no matter what harmful intentions may be hurled or railed at you, you have the shelter of refuge in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Are you taking refuge in the Lord? And if not, what are you taking refuge in? People take refuge in a lot of things. Alcohol, drugs, and all kinds of other ungodly things. Even sometimes believers. But we have a shelter and a refuge in Him, in His Word, and in our commitment to discover and to do what He's calling us to do. Amen?
Amen.
The essence of the cross of Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the goodness, mercy, and faithfulness of God. The cross of Jesus Christ personifies the richness of God's mercy toward us. And so part of the essence of the cross of Jesus Christ is the mercy of God.
Amen. That's right.
Part of the essence of the cross of Jesus Christ is the goodness of God. Another part of the essence of the cross of Jesus Christ is the mercy of God. And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is looking to remind us and encourage us afresh today along these lines from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Make a note of it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The Amplified transliteration reads it like this. The Apostle Paul speaking to believers of his day in the Ephesian church, and God by His Word and by His Spirit speaking to us today. Would you receive the Word of the Lord that comes today? Would you receive the Rhema of God's Spirit that would come to you today? By the backing of God's Spirit coming to your heart through the Word of God, you were once spiritually dead and separated from God. Stop right there for a minute. Sometimes we got to review that, don't we? So that we're not taking anything for granted.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
You're not who you were, but you're not yet who you're going to be.
Amen.
Amen? But you can't know that until you reflect on the past every so often and say, wow, Thank you, Lord. I was spiritually dead and separated from you, but now I'm not. Amen.
Amen.
But there was a time when you were once spiritually dead and separated from God because of your transgressions and sins, catch this now, in which you once walked in proactively. How many of you here with me can admit there was a time when you walked proactively in sinful ways? Can anybody lift an honest, vulnerable hand with me? And now you've learned that's not the way to go. But sometimes we can still trip up in sin as believers. How many of you here with me have tripped up in sin since you've become a believer? But I'm not sinning as much as I used to. Can anybody lift another hand and say, I don't sin as much as I used to, and I'm not going to sin as much as I do now. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to be sinless, but I can sin less and less by the power of God's Spirit and its transforming power in me. Amen? But there was a time when I was following the ways of this world and I was walking proactively in transgressions and sins. I was fighting against the purposes of God. I think that at times, even as believers, we can fight against the purposes of God.
Right.
I have found myself there. Anybody here want to lift a half honest hand on that? Mm-hmm. There have been times, even as a believer, when I have fought against the purposes of God. Are you fighting against the word and will of God for your life? You're not going to win that battle. Surrender. 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 There's a better way. Amen?
Amen?
But there was a time when your behavior governed. There was a time when your behavior was governed by the passions of your flesh, indulging the desires of your human nature and the impulses of your sinful mindset. You were by nature children under the sentence of God's wrath. Ooh. Just like the rest of mankind apart from God. Ooh. But God, being so very rich in mercy, rich in mercy, rich in mercy, because of His great and wonderful love with which He loved us. Everybody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That even when we were spiritually dead and separated from Him because of our sins, in the richness of His mercy, He made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For it is by the undeserved favor and the mercy of His grace that you have been saved from the wrath of God's judgment. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And He has raised us up together with Him when we believed. And He has seated us with Him in the heavenly places. Because we are now in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And He did this so that in the ages to come, He might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of His mercy and grace and loving kindness toward us in Christ Jesus by providing for our redemption. Amen?
Amen.
Can anybody say, thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Make no mistake about it. Apart from Christ, we were doomed in the impoverishment of our sin. But in Christ, we are redeemed in the richness of God's mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Be reminded afresh today, mercy is compassion or forgiveness that is extended to someone who deserves punishment or harm. Anybody feel like they know somebody that deserves some punishment? Can anybody lift a hand with me and say, oh, that guy deserves punishment. That guy deserves something other than mercy. But God extended mercy to you and to me. Amen?
Amen.
He wants us to model that to one another. Amen. As far as we are able. What do we deserve, really? And what will we end up getting? Mercy is undeserved pardon. Amen? And catch this now. Mercy is the only explanation. Mercy, the mercy of God, is the only explanation for the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Amen?
Amen?
We don't deserve it. God loved us so much that He said, okay, I'm going to extend my mercy.
Amen?
Thank
you, Lord.
Amen? Boy, what a lesson for us.
Yeah.
And our relationships with one another. Amen?
Yes.
God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is reminding and encouraging each of us afresh today from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Make a note of it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. That God is so rich in mercy that He demonstrated His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, that's a so often repeated verse, but let that sink in for a minute. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we ever cared for Him or cared to know Him, God had already extended mercy toward anyone who would accept it. Amen?
Amen.
Think about that. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I have a living hope. I have a living hope. I have a living hope. Let's decree that together. I have a living hope. Again. I have a living hope. One more time. I have a living hope. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And the richness of God's mercies, catch this now, didn't end at the cross. Aren't you glad for that? The richness of God's mercies continue throughout our born-again lives in Christ. Aren't you glad for that? By the working of the Holy Spirit in us, bringing us to repentance whenever we fall short of His glory in our lives. Amen? He is faithful in the richness of His mercy to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen?
Amen.
According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Make a note of it. And the richness of His mercy never ends.
Thank you, Lord.
Towards those who endure to the end in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
For those continuing to walk in His ways. His mercies are new every morning. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Continuing to walk in His ways. According to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. Make a note of it. Be encouraged afresh today, saints of God, as Spirit-filled, born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Catch this now, word of encouragement. We never have to fear that one day God will get fed up with us and stop His patient working in our lives. Catch this now. His merciful, patient, long-suffering will continue to work in our favor. Catch this now. As we remain wholly committed to His perfect will and plan and purpose for our lives. And when we are, then we never need to worry that our portion of God's long-suffering mercy will ever run out. Amen? God does lose His patience with the recalcitrant, rebellious ones. The essence of the cross of Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the goodness, mercy, and faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness is perfect, even when it seems impossible. Part of the essence of the cross of Jesus Christ is the faithfulness of God, the perfect faithfulness of God. Amen? God's faithfulness is perfect, even when it seems impossible. When He says something will happen, it will happen. Amen? This is true for the past, the present, and the future. He's been faithful to us before. How many of you can lift a hand of declaration and say, God's been faithful to me before? Amen? He's been faithful to us before. He is faithful to us now. How many of you can lift a hand and say, God's being faithful to me now? And He'll be faithful to me later. Can anybody lift a future hand of praise and say, He'll be faithful to me later because He's been faithful to me before and He's being faithful to me now and I know He'll be faithful to me in the future. Amen? God's looking to buoy your faith here today. If you're doubting, if you're despairing, if you're wondering, stop wondering. God is perfectly faithful. Are you pursuing His Word? Are you pursuing His perfect will? Are you saying, Lord God Almighty, my life is not my own. My body is not my own. I was created by You and for Your glory. I offer myself up to You today as a living sacrifice. Have Your way with me, Lord God Almighty. Give me a confident assurance that I'm where You want me to be, doing what You want me to do in the manner or timing that You want me to do. And are you praying prayers, something like that, each and every day? Because when you are, and make no mistake about it, no need to worry. The the faithfulness of God will continue in your life, even though you may not be able to figure it all out right now. How many of you here got it all figured out right now? Anybody going to lift a lying hand and say, yeah, I got it all figured out? I heard it said this way once. I'd rather not have it all figured out and rely on God step by step by step to see His glory in each of those steps. Amen? Anybody here up for that? If God were unfaithful even once, He would not be God. If God were unfaithful even once, He would not be God, and we could not perfectly rely on any of His promises. But make no mistake about it, God is eternally reliable. He's eternally steadfast. He's eternally unwavering, because faithfulness is one of His inherent attributes. Amen?
Amen.
God doesn't have to work at being faithful. We do. Faithful is who He is. Amen? And in Christ Jesus, we're becoming more faithful. Amen? Are you becoming more faithful to God's Word? Are you becoming more faithful to His perfect will and plan and purpose for your life? Jesus is the standard. Amen?
Amen?
Psalm 25, verse 10. Make a note of it. Psalm 25, verse 10 reminds us that the Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness. Catch this now. Those who keep their covenant with Him and obey His directives. Amen?
Amen?
In His faithfulness, He protects us from evil. Aren't you glad for that? In His faithfulness, He gives us a way of escape in times of temptation. Are you glad for that? In His faithfulness, He honors our genuine repentance when we sin. In His faithfulness, He is perfectly patient with our sanctification process. Thank you, Lord. The goodness of God, the mercy of God, and the faithfulness of God are the essence of the cross of Jesus Christ. And we who identify personally with the cross of Jesus Christ are impelled by the Holy Spirit, catch this now, to walk consistently in humble service to God in the advancement of Jesus' kingdom purposes in us and through us. Are you walking out your life day in and day out consistently in service to God's Word and will? Because that's the place and shelter, that's the place of shelter and refuge, that God's goodness and mercy and faithfulness will continue to be tangible in your life. Amen? You will experience the fullness of God's intended blessing for your life on this earth until He comes again to reveal the fullness of His reign on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? In the meantime, let's say that together. In the meantime, say it again. In the meantime, let us embrace the goodness, mercy, and faithfulness of God in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. For He has done wonderful things for us. Amen. He has gained the victory over sin and death for us. Amen.
Amen.
He's made known His salvation. He has revealed His perfect righteousness. And He has remembered His goodness and mercy and faithfulness toward His people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So now as the elements are being distributed, let us incline ourselves now to participate in communion with the Lord's Supper. Let us take some moments now to bow our hearts, to bow our lives before the Lord in His presence, with a time of repentant reflection and fresh recommitment. Do it now as the elements are being distributed, a time of fresh recommitment to honor the Lord with our motives, to honor the Lord with our expectations, to honor the Lord with our appetites, with our attitudes, with our drives and desires, with our mindset and with our emotions. Come with an expectation in this time of communion, catch this now, that we will experience a transaction with the Spirit of God. That's really what communion with the Lord's Supper is meant to be, a transaction with the Spirit of God. And it's predicated on the inclination of our hearts to make a repentant, fresh recommitment to honor the Lord in every area of our lives, so that we will have a tangible, experiential transaction with the Spirit of God that will be transformative in us and through us, spirit, soul, and body, as we partake together.